5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning at WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. I had a moment last week that really helped refocus me. We all need that sometimes. As you know, I pride myself on being very transparent with all of you. I like to tell you exactly what is going on and be real and authentic and, I mean, vulnerable in a lot of different ways. And I think I'm a pretty self-aware person. I can tell when I'm not feeling as inspired, or I'm questioning the impact I'm making with all of you, or I'm wondering if I'm hitting all the right marks and really giving you advice that makes a difference. You know, sometimes we go through these patterns or times that we, I don't know, struggle a little bit. And I think it's okay to talk about that. Yes, I am a worrier. I'm a natural born person who worries. And I don't for a second think that I have it all figured out. I'm not some egotistical person who thinks I know it all and you're just here to listen. This is an interaction. This is a flowing thing where we all kind of express our doubts. That's normal. I know I'm flawed. I know I'm learning. And I've been in the industry for 20 years and I'm still learning things from every interview I do or every conversation I have. Now, this isn't some statement hoping for compliments. I'm not expecting you all to see like, oh, no, it's great, Brian. You're doing a great job. I'm not saying that. Okay. It's just to show you all that we all have the same doubts in many ways, no matter where you are in your career or where you are in your life. And as you have doubts, you have to realize that so does everyone else. If you worry and have anxiety and think you are all alone, well, guess what? You aren't. And I hope that by being this vulnerable and transparent, it gives you all a little bit of solace to know that you aren't alone when you're feeling doubt or you're feeling confusion or you're feeling frustration. We all do that, right? You're not alone. You're not behind the curve. You're not failing. You're learning. And that's okay. I go through ruts for sure. I go through times where I struggle to book guests and I wonder, why is this still so hard? Haven't I established an audience yet? Don't people know the good we are doing? Or I go through a rut where I'm worried my message isn't getting through. I'm not growing the audience like I should, or I'm not hearing from the audience very much. So I don't know if I'm hitting the mark. And I wonder and stress over what is wrong. Again, I'm sharing this because you need to know it is totally normal and rational. There are other people out there that host shows like this or different or advice shows, people like Gary Vaynerchuk, who may not admit this, you know, who may not admit that they have doubts. They might be this supremely confident person, but I'm pretty sure that they actually, when off camera or off mic, would admit going through moments of vulnerability and doubt too. I'm just willing to admit it here. This week, the reason I brought this up and the reason I said at the beginning of the show I had a moment that really helped refocus me, well, this week Nathan Brown really helped me out, whether he knows it or not. So I want to share his story. Nathan is a relatively new fan of the show and is a student at the University of Dayton. He messaged me this week on LinkedIn, so I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it exactly as he wrote it too, so just stick with me here, people. Brian, I've got a funny story for you. So I recently took a shot and applied for a game day position with the marketing department for the Cincinnati Bengals. I had no expectation I would hear back from them, but they liked my resume and invited me for an interview. However, I'm currently interning in New Hampshire, so I asked if we would be able to conduct an interview over Skype. It took them a while to get back to me, and what happened was I basically had less than 12 hours to prepare. I did my best to do some of the tips and tricks you talk about in your podcast, but then I remembered something. I'm staying in a pretty rough, not attractive dorm room / student housing thing right now, and this is not a good spot for an interview, a video interview. I then went searching around town at local libraries and whatnot, trying to find a place to conduct this interview, and I struck out. I come back to my dorm room and was like, all right, we're going to have to make the best of this. But as I come into my room and turn on the lights, you guessed it, the light bulbs blow out. Long story short, I get a call about an hour later and did my best to own the fact that I was conducting this interview with nothing more than a desk lamp and my bed in the background. I could have been much more embarrassed and stressed by the situation, but I was able to make everyone laugh about it and own it. The rest of the interview went on to be very genuine and fun, since the ice had been broken very early on in the conversation. I wanted to share with you that I was offered the job this morning. I thank you for your knowledge and advice. I was able to use the things you have mentioned, stay calm, be myself, and make the best out of a tough situation. Thanks again to you and what you do. So, great story from Nathan, and I'm laughing. This is like the third time I've read it, and I'm laughing. Like, imagine for a second, you go back into your dorm. You've been looking all over for a place to find like a good spot at a library or something like that, a study room, and try to find a good spot for the interview. And you're like, all right, I struck out there, but I'll make the room work. And you go in and you flash the lights on and the light bulbs burn out. And it's like, oh my gosh. You know, I read it and I laugh and I think I couldn't be any prouder. This is a great life lesson for all of us. Nathan had a choice. He could have panicked and let that come through in the interview, or he could have owned the situation, make a bit of a joke about it, loosen the mood, laugh at yourself a little, and then nail the interview, refocus and nail the interview. And I'm so impressed that he was able to pull that off. You know, not only does that ability to laugh a little at yourself show you have personality, it also shows real confidence that you're not knocked off course easily. He was able to take a bad situation and persevere through it. This is the type of thing that can really stand out for the right reasons. Okay, so think about this for a second. Let's flip this around, okay? Pretend you're the interviewer. You work for a major team, organization, or brand, and you conduct a lot of these interviews. They, after a while, are all the damn same. Trust me, I've lived this, interviewing candidate after candidate that all seemed rehearsed from the same script. Now, I'm not advising you to do something crazy just to stand out or to create a problem to look like you overcame it, but you can see the value in the unexpected and how you handle that. You can see the value in not blending in. Now, again, I always feel the need to qualify things. I am not saying to wear a fish tie or a really short skirt. You want to stand out for who you truly are. You don't want to fabricate anything. Be you. What I'm telling you is don't script. Don't try to memorize. Don't try to be, yes, learn, research, think about how you'd answer certain questions, but then in the moment, be you. That's the key to all of this. Show yourself your true personality, not a scripted version of who you think the interviewer wants you to be. Nice job, Nathan. Congrats on landing the job. And I'm glad I played some small part in it. And your story made me laugh. And it gave me a lot of enjoyment knowing that it's making a difference. And I appreciate that. Okay, so now after all that long preamble, let's get into today's question. Quick note on, before we do, on the Work in Sports Academy. I've created a series of online courses that are created to help you become a master at getting hired in sports, okay? I get asked daily, how do I prepare for a group interview? What type of internship should I get? How do I build a network of contacts? How should I make my LinkedIn profile? To be honest, all of your questions over years of doing this formed the outline for these courses. We're answering all of your pressing questions with great depth, analysis, tactics, and strategies. It is not enough to take classes in college. You have to master the getting a job part, and most schools don't really teach you that stuff. Check out workinsports.com/gameplan for more information. And if you have questions on the courses, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I'm happy to answer any questions you have about them. All right, today's question. I already went a long way with the Nathan story, so let's get in a good quick hitter. This one is from Victor K in Atlanta. Hi, Brian. I saw a quick Twitter battle this week you were involved in regarding the format of electronic resumes. Did you ever come to a final conclusion, and would you like to expand upon it? Hey, Victor. Thanks for the question. And to give some background into what Victor is referring to, now, just to be clear, it wasn't really a Twitter battle. It was a friendly discussion amongst peers via Twitter. No battle, you know, no battle, no beef. We're all good. Okay, so here's what happened. I saw a highly respected director of marketing for a D1 athletic program post on Twitter that if you're going to submit your resume online for any jobs, it has to be in PDF form. Never use anything else, just PDF. And I responded to him saying that his comment was interesting, that all of the applicant tracking systems we deal with say people should never use PDF because it is a graphic standard that the computers struggle to translate into words and often format incorrectly. When I said that, another associate AD from a different school chimed in, essentially saying, always use PDF, and then throwing in some cliche about the interview starting as soon as the resume is received or something like that. Again, I responded, are you using an applicant tracking system or just reviewing by hand? You know, she didn't respond. So I asked one of the applicant tracking system companies to weigh in, Sovereign, who's a company we've worked with a lot in the past, and they responded back actually over a thread of like 8 posts. They said never use PDF, and they explained why. So at the end of the day, I don't know who wins in this scenario, but here's the deal. You need multiple versions of your resume. You have to assume that a computer is going to read your resume. At some point, a human may be reading your resume, and you need to customize each of those for the specific job. So let's get into this a little bit more detail. Most of the time when you submit a resume online, it is going to be parsed through a system, an applicant tracking system, or just a parsing system that reads all the text and tries to pull out those skills and keywords that are needed. As I've explained before in the past, when I was hiring at Fox Sports Northwest, I would put together a job description. I would send it to our HR department and say, here are the 10 qualities I really need. These are skills I need. And they would come back after going through their database of resumes and putting the job out there and getting in resumes and scanning them through the applicant tracking system. They'd look for a score based on the skills that I asked for. So they'd come out and say, this one was an 85% match. This one was a 93% match. And I'd start to build my list of contacts after that. So those versions that people submitted, the computers needed to read. So you have to have a version for the electronic submission. Again, our friends in the ATS world say this should always be a Word document, not pages, not worksheets, not PDFs, a Microsoft Word document. This is the version of your resume that is customized for ATS transcription. It's submitted electronically, so it has to be formatted so that the computers can read the information correctly. What I mean by that is no fancy formatting, no graphics, no tables, just straight information, homey. That was a Randy Mouse shout-out for all of you that remember. So the idea here is the computers essentially read from left to right. Okay, so think about that. They are literally going left to right. So if you write in columns, then it is going to read it all garbledy. It's not going to make any sense. If you have other strange formats, it's not going to process that. If you have stuff that's embedded in a graphic, it's not going to be able to read it. So you need to be very straightforward with that electronic submission. I am actually creating a document now that will be part of our Work in Sports Academy courses that is a downloadable worksheet that will give you the exact rights and wrongs of what to do for your electronic resume. Now, you also need to have a version that is for human eyes, because sometimes you're going to send your resume to a recruiter, or you might send it directly to a hiring manager, or you might send it to somebody you know is going to be looking at it. Now, this can be your PDF version. It can be a fancy version. It can have formatted layout, use a template, columns, graphics, whatever you desire. A human is going to look at it, so it matters how it looks, not just what is inside. Now, forgetting that for a second, that's just talking formatting, okay? You also have to customize the resume for every job you apply for. Add emphasis to your skills that line up with the job you are applying for. For example, let's say you're applying for a production assistant job at ESPN, and that job asks for someone with knowledge of nonlinear editing, camera work, and audio editing, okay? You have your resume. It's got those skills kind of highlighted. It shows you off in that form. And then you see another job at NBC Sports Boston that is also for a production assistant. Well, if you take that exact same resume and send it in, you could be completely missing the point of that job. Because if you look at that job, they're looking for someone to produce social videos, graphics, and GIFs. So despite them having the same title, they are not the same job, and you need to emphasize the skills they want in that specific role. Every job, whether it has the same title or not, is going to have different emphases depending on the organization it is for. So make sure you study that job description, find out what they're looking for, and make sure your resume fits that. So this probably sounds like a lot of work, right? Yeah, you have to create multiple versions of your resume. You have to have an electronic version. You have to have a humanized version. You got to tweak it each time. Yeah, it is a lot of work, but you do want a job, right? That's why I always say it's not about quantity. It's not about applying to 100 jobs and you know, striking out. It's about picking the 6 to 7 a month, you know, that really fit you, that you would be really into, and putting in that extra level of work to get noticed so you get an interview. not a quantity job. It's a quality job. So, Victor, that's the deal with our Twitter beef. I am, as I mentioned, I am creating a downloadable worksheet we are going to add to our Work in Sports Academy courses to outline all the right and wrong ways to build your electronic resume for the applicant tracking system. So stay tuned for that. And if you've already bought the courses, you get all of my updates. So if I add a new downloadable worksheet or if I add a new video, you get it, right? You're not boxed out of that. That's the really cool thing about our program. Once you buy, you get all of my updates and changes forever. No subscription fee, one flat price, one time, and you get it all. So do it. WorkinSports.com/gameplan. Check it out. Thanks for listening, everyone. Talk to you soon. And again, congratulations, Nathan Brown. All right, everybody. Get back to work.